Hi, I'm Dr. Jana Bogues, and welcome to my teaching video called Going Beyond Organic to Nutrition Grown. If you like the concepts, you can find more information at my website called beyondorganicresearch.com. Good health comes from good food grown in nutrient-balanced soil. While there are certainly other factors such as clean air and water, social interactions, addressing our emotions and lifestyle choices, giving our bodies the optimal amounts of needed nutrients in the form of high-quality food is absolutely essential to our health and longevity. Your birthright is to live a loving, happy, healthy, long life without disease, and to pass peacefully in your sleep when you are ready. As a population, we have gotten so far away from this understanding that we take it for granted that we will all just eventually get sick and die. With the decline of our environment and the quality of our foods, we have forgotten our true nature and who we really are. Humanity is in an alarming predicament. What has happened to our health? Cardiovascular disease is claiming 1 in 3 people around the world. Look at someone on your left and someone on your right and you in the middle. Statistically, one of the three of you is going to die from cardiovascular disease. Your overall risk of developing cancer is now 1 in 2. And autism is rising exponentially. At the current trend, by 2032, 1 in 2 children will have autism. Diabetes is up 90% in only 10 years. 1 in 3 children born since the year 2000 are expected to develop diabetes in their lifetime. Obesity continues to rise at an escalating rate. It's a disease that's related to many others, including diabetes. These are all diet-related degenerative diseases. The good point is, they're diet-related. That means we could do something about that. What we need is excellent nutrition, which can then give us what we need so we can experience vibrant health and healing. Not just average nutrition, which is going to lead to degradation over time, and certainly not junk food, which all we can expect from eating junk food is rapid health decline. Something bad has happened to our food. Our food has lost up to 70% of critical nutrients in the last 70 years. Minerals, vitamins, and phytonutrients. Phytonutrients are compounds that naturally occur in these plants, and they have antioxidant type properties and other beneficial effects on human physiology. These are studies that came from the United States, the United Kingdom, and Australia, comparing food nutrient density from the tables that they've kept for many years, since like the 1930s and 40s up to the present day. And that's how we've been able to see how much nutrient density we've lost in our foods. Now I have an interesting story and an example about this nutrient loss. So there was a can of peaches found frozen in a continuously snowy area. It was estimated to have been canned in the late 1800s. Fortunately, the people that found these peaches decided to do an analysis to check the nutrient density, and then they compared that to recently canned peaches and found that the old peaches had considerably more nutrient density than the new peaches. Amazing, because when you can something, usually it loses a lot of nutrients over time. But these had so much nutrition to start with that they had more even through this long-term process of being held in this can. Here is a chart that shows these mineral changes over 50 years. On the left are the studies and locations. You can see two are from the UK and two are from the United States. Across the top are various minerals: potassium, sodium, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, iron, and copper. Where there's a down arrow, that means there was a significant decrease in that particular mineral, in that particular study. NA means that they didn't test that, and when there's a little dashed sign, that means that there wasn't any change in that particular mineral in that study. So you can see that mostly we've had decreases in these nutrients, and some we had no change. And phosphorus, for instance, the P over here, it's not really a nutrient that we tend to be lacking in. So that's not a very, you know, important one here. It's important, but the thing is, in our diets, we tend to get plenty of that. So some of the other ones that are much more important, they're all significantly dropped. And you'll notice on here, there's none that have actually increased. Your health is in your hands. It's not in the medical system. There's no magic pill. Everyone seems to want a magic pill, but there is no magic pill. By growing food well, eating good quality, steering clear of chemicals, we can have a good, healthy, and happy life. So this information is very empowering. Some people think maybe it's daunting, but actually it's very empowering. 3 billion people suffer from nutrient deficiencies, according to the World Health Organization. 3 billion people, that's half of our population nearly. And some doctors estimate that 99% of people have nutrient deficiencies. Actually, that was something from nearly 100 years ago. And it's just gotten worse as our foods have gotten poorer. What does this bring? It brings a loss of health. It brings a loss of potential. We can't do what we would otherwise do. And of course, it brings a loss of happiness. You're not going to be a happy camper if you don't feel well and you can't do what you want to do. Very frustrating. Here's a chart that shows the percentage of Americans with an intake below the recommended daily allowance. So at the top, we have omega-3 fats, which 80% of Americans, according to this chart, which is based on this origins and evolution of the Western diet, health implications for the 21st century, that the omega-3 fats are one of the most common deficiencies, at 80% of the Americans having too low of an intake, followed by iodine and zinc and calcium, and then magnesium going down. So there's a huge problem here. So when we talked about earlier that some doctors felt that 99% of Americans were nutritionally deficient, you can see why, with all of these different elements being deficient in some significant percentage of the population. Something bad has happened to our food. And why has this happened? Well, there's been a change of varieties that are grown. So the breeding has not paid attention at all to nutrient density and what we need as humans. It's just been focused on other things. Sometimes it's focused on, oh, can we patent this or not? That's GMO, genetically modified organisms. There's been a natural leaching of minerals just from rain. It just happens. And there's that old saying, comes from the Bible, that the earth waxes old like a garment. So that's just part of nature. And then, of course, the poor agricultural methods. So the Midwest has lost half of its topsoil since the 1800s. I think we're doing something wrong. A carrot is not a carrot is not a carrot. I think many people believe that if a carrot grows, a carrot has what a carrot's supposed to have. But this is really not the case. The vegetables can vary greatly in nutrient content depending on the soil that they're grown in and other factors. What's going on with the weather, the water. There's many things that go into it. Here's an interesting study. And this was a study actually from quite a long time ago, back in the 50s. It's called Variation in Mineral Composition of Vegetables, and it was by Bertoth and Prince from Rutgers University. This shows the huge variations in mineral content. Going back to that thought about a carrot is not a carrot is not a carrot, here we're going to look at some examples. So up here we've got lettuce, and looking at the calcium in the lettuce, and you'll see that the highest reading is about four times what the lowest reading is. Now, these were looking at vegetables that were grown on the East Coast versus in the central part of the United States. Same crop, different soils. So what's happened is that on the East Coast there's been a lot more rain and leaching of the soils, more erosion of the soils. As you go west, drier climate, newer soils, less leaching of the soils. So we've got higher mineral content. Let's go on and look at the snap beans. Magnesium, similar, but about four times more in some of these snap beans. Cabbage, molybdenum. 24 parts per million versus 0 parts per million. It's amazing. Some of these vegetables, like I was saying, these vegetables don't necessarily have to have these to be able to live and reproduce. But humans do need these elements. Molybdenum's very important for us to run our sulfur dehydrogenase enzymes so that we can detox sulfur compounds. Spinach, boron in spinach. The gap is widening. Lettuce, manganese in lettuce, 169 parts per million versus 1 part per million. Manganese is a very important element for our health. Manganese actually has the name magic, so it's very special. Tomatoes, copper in tomatoes. Here's another one, 0 versus 0.63 parts per million. And look at the iron in tomatoes. 1,938 parts per million of iron in some of them and versus 1 part per million in others. Huge nutrient density differences. Food is only as healthy as the soil in which it is grown. Here's one of the farmers I work with, and he produces some very nice crops. Paying attention to the nutrient density. Going beyond organic to nutrition grown. That's what we're trying to do. So organic is a good system in that they're trying to keep the nasty chemicals out of agricultural production. And I laud them for that. That's wonderful. And organic, at least so far, means that it's non-GMO also. So organic is great, and what I want to do is go beyond organic to nutrition grown and really focus on increasing nutrient density. There's been a lot of studies that compared the organic to conventional as far as nutrient density and found actually very little difference. Some of the items like vitamin C and some of the phytonutrients were higher, but mostly otherwise there really wasn't significant differences. Nutrition Grown embraces the best of organic and focuses on increased nutrient density. Yes, we can double the vitamin A, double the vitamin E, double the protein, triple the calcium, have three times the copper, five times the zinc, and even 10 times the calcium by growing things the right way. Here is a comparison chart on Brussels sprouts that were well grown. Look over here on the left, we've got the list of minerals, calcium, iron, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, zinc, copper, manganese. And when you look across, you'll see what the USDA averages. So these are being compared to the USDA food nutrient database for the values in Brussels sprouts. And then you look at what says sample is this Beyond Organic type sample, and the difference and the percentage difference. So you can see on all these counts that there was a significant difference between the USDA values and the Beyond Organic Brussels sprouts. Even look down to the protein, and you can see that the protein basically doubled. And the moisture content, we put that in there because we're looking at the moisture can be something that dilutes. But even though there was more moisture in the Beyond Organic sample, it still had more nutrients, by far in some cases. The calcium is the most outstanding on this picture here with a 229% difference. Nutrition Grown benefits for consumers. Well, first of all, we have full spectrum nutrition, especially the alkaline minerals like calcium and magnesium that tend to be so lacking in the American diet. We also have a decrease in the harmful elements because we have the elements that we are really needing. It crowds out the toxic metals and these other elements that we don't really want the plant taking up. So if the plant has what it wants, it will use that instead. Of course, we have great flavor because the plants are able to fully express their flavor genetics and be able to create these compounds that are flavor compounds. A long shelf life. Well, this is coming because we have cellular integrity. So all the way at a cellular level, those plants are able to maintain that cell structure and keep the moisture in, for instance, because they had the nutrition to build their cell walls correctly. And consumers like the idea of supporting environmentally sound practices. So this is great because Nutrition Grown is basically organic, but it's beyond organic because we're actually restoring the soil to what it originally was way back and before it got leached out and otherwise abused by humans. And blood glycemic benefits. This is very interesting. I have done some research and you'll see the slides on some of that. But by treating plants the right way, treating the soil the right way, we're able to grow high quality fruits that actually have a lower glycemic index. Now let's talk about some of this blood glucose research. Let me tell you a story. There was a diabetic up in Washington State, and he had his own blood glucose monitor like you see in this picture here. So he would be checking his blood glucose, and so he knew when he ate certain things that would spike his blood glucose. And he was eating cherries that were very well-grown cherries. And he noticed that they didn't really spike his blood glucose. Now, his doctor had told him, no more fruit. Don't eat fruit because it's going to spike your blood glucose. And he did notice that when he ate conventionally grown fruits, like cherries, that it would spike his blood glucose. But when he ate fruits that were very well grown with good nutrition in the soil, his blood glucose didn't actually spike up. So he told his doctor, I'm going to get a bowl of these really awesome cherries that are so well grown, and I'm going to sit in your office and I'm going to let you check my blood glucose as I eat these cherries, and I want to show you that I can eat fruit if it's grown well. And he did, and I think the doctor was probably quite amazed. And when I heard about it, I was at a seminar, a big Acres USA seminar, and Bruce Tinio was speaking, and he was talking about this, and I just about fell off the chair. I was so excited to hear this. And Bruce went on to say that he felt that 70% of diseases could be prevented by eating nutrient-balanced foods. And so I said, I've just got to do this work in the university. This is so exciting, because nobody had really done a research study on it in a university-type setting or scientific study. So this is one thing that I went after. So one of the things that I did was the blood glucose research, but I actually did work all the way from soil to through plant tissue into human taste trials and this blood glucose research. And a lot of this work I actually did on my own fingers. I also had other graduate students that were working with me on these trials, and we were poking our fingers and taking our blood glucose levels and really trying to see what we could come up with. So let me explain this chart here to you. Here on this axis on the left-hand side is blood glucose in milligrams per deciliter. So the starting value was around 100, which is normal blood glucose. This is starting in the morning before eating anything, fasting overnight. And then I would eat 300 grams of apples and then check my blood glucose. So you can see with the colors here, the green is the higher Brix apple, which means that it has more sugar in it. And the medium Brix has like a medium amount of sugar, and the lower Brix at 12.5 on the Brix scale. But what's interesting is if you follow this out, I've taken my blood glucose reading every 10 minutes after eating these apples. And the apples with the lowest sugar actually spiked up the highest. So apples that were well grown that had a higher Brix reading, actually more sugar, had a flatter blood glucose curve, which was what I had heard from the stories, but was hard to believe. And then I did it, you know, for myself, and found, yes, the higher sugar level in the apples, yet I had a lower glycemic response. And that was definitely exciting. So this was done on 3 different days, so that each morning I started off with my blood glucose overnight fasting at around 100, and then did it. So, this is quite amazing. And of course, it's just preliminary research, but this just goes to show that there is an effect here. Now, just to be clear, just because an apple has a high Brix reading doesn't necessarily mean that you'll get this blood glucose response from it, because there's certain things you can do to a crop to make that sugar go up in the apple. And so it doesn't hold absolutely true that just increasing the sugar level is going to cause a difference in the glycemic response. It really has to do with, do you really have the minerals in there that you need to be able to create the compounds that can then in turn drop that glycemic response. So that's the bottom line of what we think, and weren't able to completely, you know, stay in the university and work all the fine details out. I had to graduate and get on with things, but that's the direction that we believe is the cause of why there's more of this lowered glycemic response, because we think that there's more of certain compounds, Floritin and Florizin. So, yeah, it was super interesting research. Like to do more of it. So it was Hippocrates that said, "Let food be your medicine." And there's a lot of truth in that little statement. Food can't be our medicine if we can't obtain medicinal quality foods. Now, with some people, they think of medicinal quality and they may kind of cringe. But all these flavor compounds and all these antioxidant compounds that are formed, these are all really quite medicinal for us, that they're good medicine for us. So, yes, medicinal quality food has a lot of phytonutrients. They're able to be formed because the plant had what it needed. And how do we get there? Well, we have to start with a comprehensive soil analysis. Really take a look at all the different minerals that we can examine there and balance all of those. Look at our soil microbiology, get that all balanced. Get that soil working the way it needs to be working so we can have the plants. And then use good quality seeds, grow excellent stuff. We've got to feed the soil to feed the plant, to feed the human. Now, I really love this slide as a nutritionist, because it's going all the way looking at these systems. So in this rabbit study, they compared hay grown with and without the limestone calcium amendments. Fecal and urine analyses were revealing that there was a high removal of calcium, phosphorus, and nitrogen from both hays in the digestive tracts. So what does that mean? A high removal means that calcium, phosphorus, and nitrogen were taken up out of the digestive tract into the blood system. So that was from both hays. But the calcium, phosphorus, and nitrogen from the hay grown on the unlimed soil were lost to a high degree in the urine, which means, yes, they made it into the blood, but then they just went straight out in the urine. Whereas there was more complete absorption and synthesis into the animal tissue of calcium, phosphorus, and nitrogen from hay grown on the limed soil. So the limed means, again, calcium was added to that soil and made this big difference in the actual utilization all the way at the cellular level into the animal tissue of these minerals. There's something that's very important to our health that's been largely overlooked, but research is now coming out about biophoton life energy. What is this? What's a biophoton? It's literally translated life, light. So living things emit and communicate with light. That's how we're able to actually communicate within our own body quickly, much more quickly than typical chemical synapses and things like that. And well-grown plants have high levels of biophotons. And eating these high-frequency foods, so these plants are of a higher frequency, and that can actually be measured in megahertz. And eating these high-frequency foods with a lot of biophoton energy in a fresh state, because that's when it's most active. As you cook something, it's going to dissipate that life energy. But eating it this way will increase our own life energy force. And this increased life energy then allows our bodies to raise their own frequency vibration and to heal. What are the possibilities? Food plants grown with the optimal balance of nutrients to help them achieve their full potentials, when consumed by humans, allow us to express our full potentials. So how do we create this really great nutrition-grown food? Well, I developed this Beyond Organic Growing System. And if you notice, that's B-O-G-S, which is my last name. And I always wondered why I was blessed with this last name of Bogues. And I finally realized it one day. So I was like, oh, Beyond Organic. Oh, that's B-O. And then G, growing, oh, system. And anyway, I thought that was really great. So it's like, my work in the world just got reconfirmed. Anyway, let's take a look at this chart. And at the top, you'll see the first step, which is a really great soil analysis, a very comprehensive soil analysis with like 18 plus minerals and the pH and the organic matter, the cation exchange capacity, electrical conductivity, lots of things we want to look at in depth. And then this analysis is not just the analysis, but it's how it's interpreted. So to interpret this to increase food nutrient content, then we put the exact amount of amendments in the soil that it needs to balance it. We don't want too much of something and too little of something else. And you have to be careful about how much you put on at one time, because you can kill the nice microbes that are in the soil that we need there. So those microbes need these nutrients too. So we have to feed that soil to be able to feed the plants, to be able to feed the humans. Then the second step, we grow the best cultivars that we can find. So the cultivars that would produce really great nutritious food. And then thirdly, we can do plant tissue analysis and enhance it further with foliar nutrition sprays. And then finally, we're going to save the best seeds, harvest and potentially sell, give away, eat the crop. And then we repeat the cycle so that we will do another soil analysis 6 months after we've done the initial soil analysis to see where we are now and what we need to add. And we keep tweaking the system until we get it just perfect. You nurture nature. And then optimized nature nurtures you. It's a nice circle. I like to think of it more actually as a spiral, a spiraling up. As you're nurturing nature, optimizing it, then it nurtures you. And then you can even more optimize nature. And it just keeps going like that. What are the benefits for the growers of this nutrition-grown food? First of all, they're going to have greater yields. You're giving those plants everything they want so that they can produce to their optimum. And the plants are going to be more drought tolerant. As you take care of your soil, in general, you will just have this better quality soil that can hold the moisture better. Your plants are having all the nutrients they need so that they can hold their moisture better. You've got better cell walls that are not allowing the moisture to evaporate. All around, much better. And this Beyond Organic creates a better quality food product that people will pay premium prices for. Some of the growers get between 3 and 10 times the price for their products because they taste so much better, they look so much better, they have a longer shelf life, the chefs just love them, foodies love them, and so they can get this quality. And it's worth it for the consumer because they're getting a good product. And then everybody's concerned about pests and diseases in their plants. And what we can achieve through this is healthier plants that actually don't attract the insects. And because they're healthy, they don't succumb to diseases. They have everything they need so that they're able to protect themselves. And we don't have to use nasty chemical sides, pesticides, and things like that. I want to give you a little better understanding about pest resistance and actually non-attraction. So first of all soils and crop fields are not created equal. There's differences in the quality of the soil, so the quality of the plants. Proper plant nutrition is going to equate to stronger cell walls in the plant and also the production of secondary metabolites. That's some of these phytonutrients that the plant actually puts out to protect itself from the insects. Insects are not humans. Now that may seem pretty straightforward, but I think a lot of people think that, oh, you know, if humans are going to eat this plant, then insects will eat this plant. But that's not true. Insects need small molecules as food to be able to digest that. They can't really digest like fully formed proteins. They need it broken down into more of an amino acid. So that's why they're not really attracted to these plants. The insects have these antennae, scintilla. These are sense organs that can pick up the frequencies of molecules which are food for them. This was work done by Philip Callahan. And so those insects, every one of these molecular structures gives off some sort of a frequency. And so these insects know where these food plants are that have these fragmented molecules that they can digest, and that's what they go for. So overall, insects are actually nature's garbage collectors, removing what is not worthy of reproduction. So they seem like the enemy, but they're actually here doing a service. Indeed, something bad has happened to our food, and we can change that. It was Margaret Mead that said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." My mission is to introduce a new nutrition-based agricultural paradigm which produces nutritionally superior foods within sustainable organic systems. This is what I call nutrition-grown foods. I also provide advisory guidance to food growers and food product manufacturers in creating these nutrition-grown foods and food supplement products. My values extend to our environment because our well-being extends from our environment to ourselves. Cooperation. Working together with the spirit of openness and transparency for the good of all is key to a successful future. Harmony. Working in harmony with nature is the only sustainable path. Oneness. The well-being of all is dependent on the well-being of each. If you noticed, this makes up ECHO, echo, and this design you see here at the bottom is actually an echo being recorded. So I'm hoping that you're going to enjoy these concepts and then echo them throughout the world so that we can all live happier, healthier lives. If you would like to learn more and implement Beyond Organic Growing in your own garden, I have resources to help you. Take a look at my free video mini course on my website, beyondorganicresearch.com. I look forward to helping you optimize your soil and optimize your life.